from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Who was that, Evan?
Some things I'm not allowed to touch. Like some of the things we discussed during the commercial break.
Oh, I'd be fired.
Yeah, I know. But I would literally be, that would be sent off immediately. We just can't touch those.
Yeah,
things.
No
As
doubt.
For hump day, I think that wasn't that from a commercial with like a camel? The Geico commercial? Yeah, Geico commercial. Hump day? I'm not going to lie. I laughed so hard at that when I was 13 years old. Just had it on a loop.
Look, he said on loop.
It was so funny.
Jason Tatum starting for the USA. Way to go, Kerr.
Yeah, he's basically Jonathan Kuminga.
That's a four.
He gets a DMP, gets pissed off.
Well, he didn't complain. He was a good soldier.
Kerr calls himself an idiot.
Everybody else did it for him.
And
I'm like, everybody
game,
chill.
He's in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Deep breath.
Why?
We got other thing pressing issues in our world than Jason Tatum not starting on the USA or not playing.
Yeah, I don't really give a damn.
I felt bad for him a little bit. Yeah.
Why?
He just won. He got the biggest contract.
He's a big boy.
He won the title.
Yeah.
And his teammate Derek White plays before him. That's what really made him bad. Like, have you watched the Celtics play? Tatum's a bad boy. Come on.
But there's also something to like. Okay, so you're admitting fault by moving a play, like, all right, so you know you're on the bench, you don't play this game, you don't make us think about it, but the boss says, well, I probably should have had Goo on that day, and then the next day you're in.
Oh, I'm all good. All right, I'm all good.
Well, it's all good, or it's like, well, is it just is it because I made a stink about it? You know, like, why should I have to fight
or
for myself in the first place?
Or my teammate making a stink about him not being on the team at all, and him and, you know, Jaylen Brown and Grant Hill, that thing happened. I don't know.
But what if you're off the air tomorrow? Then it's like, okay, you're starting today, but you're not starting tomorrow. And
like, then my coach lied if he said he just truly, honestly, and I believe Kerr forgot about him.
But you can't play everyone. It's like an all-star game. You can't
but
get everybody.
I'm Jason Tatum. I'm long. I can do it all.
It's like the San Francisco 49ers offense.
But I should
You're
never
not going to be able to get 100 yards for
everybody. I'm Jason Tatum. You look at me. You see me ball. I should never not be out there. Wow. And that's what Kerr said. Like Spoelstra, can you say, hey, what about JT? You might want to play him.
Yeah, you know, Tatum, if you take a few less step-back pump fake, terrible shots.
Stephen A. almost had an aneurysm. He was so mad. I was like, are you really that mad?
What is something
Don't
that you...
Don't be disrespectful.
I won't, Stevie.
Well, no, but what is something you've been fake mad about?
Now, that bothers me. The whole...
The idea
there
of
is
being
no fake
mad.
Well, in relationships, I'm like, this chicken's the worst. I'm going to my buddies. Just so I can go to my buddies.
This chicken is cold.
Yeah. No. But I don't know what fake... I don't do that, Evan.
You don't do fake mad?
I don't do fake mad.
Well, I think everyone does.
I've been in radio since 2012, different, you know, Sunday nights, 1 hour, but he's saying things
for emphasis.
But no fake mad.
Like, I don't think people are fake mad at Farhan Zaidi.
Oh, no, that is big
mad. I think people are big mad. I think people are really mad.
That's why Grandy was in his bag yesterday.
Well, you know, but I can get fake mad at Grandy, you know, coming up on the crossover.
But would he know?
Maybe. Well, we have that kind of relationship.
Why fake anything?
There's a lot of people that fake stuff.
I'm married. Yeah.
No, you fake things for emphasis. Like, you're not being a phony. I wouldn't consider that being, you know, like disingenuous.
Like if Guru Gripes people found out he wasn't really mad at them. You're a fraud. That person's a fraud.
Do you have something you want to admit?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Is the last gripe?
Please.
From a place
everything
of-
is, come on, it's real. It's authentic. Like cheese on tacos.
Well, actually, it depends on the kind of cheese. No, I mean, there's been a few things I've been fake mad about.
Man.
Yeah, you know, radio mad. I get mad at...
I like that. Yeah. I think I came up with that.
Well, maybe radio fake, you know, kind of a synonym. But, you know, like...
Give it to me. I'm trying to...
Fake mad. What would I get fake mad about? You know,
because you're not really mad.
No, I mean, I'd be fake mad at, say, the Warriors for, you know, how they, quote-unquote, treated Klay Thompson. But I'm not really mad, you know.
Now, that's different. That's subtle. You're mad, but it ain't for you really. There's something to that. I believe you feel that way. But fake mad is when you just go off on something and you don't even feel that way. Like... I feel bad for people that have to do that.
Well, I do think we have gotten to the point, take the San Francisco Giants, for example. Yeah. Not that people are fake mad, but because this level of anger and frustration has been just kind of embedded, it feels like, in this franchise, or the fan base, I should say, for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. It's not that you're fake mad, but you're kind of doing the same dance. Like, you are, what are you mad at? Well, you're mad at Farhan, or you're mad at ownership, or last year it was Kapler. You know, there's just not many people to be mad at that are left. And so if I can get on top of the Salesforce Tower and scream at the clouds about Farhan Zaidi, but at the end of the day, I do have to now watch the final 53 games and figure out if this team is actually going to do something or go anywhere, or if they're going to go in the opposite direction. The one place that they seem to be stuck, which is probably the most frustrating place, is right in the middle. And I think that's also, to your point from the previous segment, frustrating for guys in the locker room.
Man.
Because some days you have it, some days you don't, and it just becomes so aggravating when you can't summon that level of production consistently. You know, like if I think I'm good at my job, I like to think I'm good at my job. If I'm good at my job, and I can't consistently be good on the mic, that would be frustrating. You know, why can't I do this?
And there's a price to pay because there's somebody else's two set of ears. That if you can't bring it every day, that's going to let you know just how frustrating that you can say it's frustrating, Evan. But my point is, you got to go talk with the boss. And you trying to get consistency, you might say, okay, I can do it this way. He might give you a whole different plan of you better stay. You know what I mean? Like there's a price to pay if you don't deliver. Or get that or find that consistency.
But I think that's where you can also get in trouble. And not, you know, the boss is very smart. He gives you great advice. But sometimes you take it and interpret it and channel it the wrong way. Like you're not actually as far away from being yourself as you think.
Okay.
So like on the field, I think oftentimes a lot of hitters, you know, there's a prolonged slump because they're trying to tinker too much. When in reality, they don't need to do much at all. You know, maybe it's just a slight movement in where your hand placement is. You know, maybe it's your load. You know, if you're picking up your leg a little bit earlier, doing all these kinds of things, staying a little more inside the ball, doing one of those things can help you break out of your slump. But when you're in a rut and when you're stuck in the middle and you can't go up or down like the Giants are, well, then you try to do all three of those things at the same time. And that's where I think listening to Farhan yesterday, they're trying to do too many things at the same time. And that's why, as a fan, I'm not really sure what they're trying to do at all. Because I don't, every time I see them say, well, we want to empower young players, or we hang our hat on our youth movement. Man. Well, that is reversing course from what you did this past offseason. But if you're telling me also we're going to keep Snell, I can see the logic behind that because we want to make a push towards the postseason. But you didn't, in my opinion, improve your ability. You didn't improve your probability to make the postseason. So in a weird way, you're not doing anything at all. You're making a bunch of these little moves. You're tinkering with your swing, but the results are just going to be the same.
And that, Evan, I don't disagree, but at the end of the day, that just puts emphasis on it's time to go, because you have people around you. You got coaches, you got video, all of the necessary things at your disposal to get better and improve that. And what I got from yesterday, or what I didn't get, and I didn't run this by UK and Carter, he didn't sound confident. He did not sound like a confident man. And I think that irks me too. And I would have appreciated, just me, my two cents, Evan, if he would have doubled down on, hey, I went and spent $200 million. These dudes aren't getting it done, rather than the same song and dance that you speak of from 6 years ago, when we all, Helen Keller, Ray, we can all see that, you know what? You haven't grown in that area. The farm system still is bare. And the things that we thought were, you know, the nice fruit, you know, are not the nice fruit. You know, I'm looking at Luciano. Now, Matos has popped. Ramos has popped, but Matos is still just floundering. I wish I would have gotten a Farhan that I felt like his energy, he was pissed off. And I just felt like I was listening to a guy that wasn't sure of himself. And basically, the same song and dance, Evan. And when it's all said and done and the dust settles and this year is over, and right now, if I had to bet, you didn't ask me, I don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't think that's enough for him to be relieved of his duties. And from a fan base perspective, not all, because I can't speak for him, but I got to believe 97% of the fan base will be offended if this man is not relieved of his duties if they do not make the playoffs.
But I think a lot of people also felt that way last year. Let's just take a listen. Okay, so he spoke to the media yesterday, Farhan Zaidi did. And here's was his message to the fan base. This is a great question asked by our own Sam Lubman of the Morning Roast. Here's what Farhan Zaidi had to say to frustrated fans.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we're kind of leaning into our young players. I mean, we have heard a lot from our, you know, development is not a straight line, right? I think when we're talking about guys like Ramos and Fitzgerald, they're perfect examples of it. You know, Ramos been AAA for 3 years and, you know, was getting hot and got an opportunity. And, you know, now we see where he is. Tyler Fitzgerald, you know, was a fourth round pick for us back in 2019, went a level at a time, had a nice minor league career, got an opportunity to come up last year, did a nice job. And, you know, we kind of kept the shortstop position open, hoping that somebody from our group of young players could, you know, take the reins, and he did it. So I think that's going to be the fun of the rest of the season is we're going to continue to bring guys up. Marco Luciano's here today. We want to see him get the DH at bats and see if he can run with those. You know, we've created a rotation spot for Hayden Birdsong, and I know people are really excited about what he's doing. So, you know, I think that's, to me, that's kind of baseball. It's most exciting when you're playing competitive baseball, meaningful baseball, and you've got young guys coming up who can be part of it.
Meaningful baseball.
And my question would be, why are you leaning into the young guys?
I think it's because you have nothing left to hang your hat on. Man. Like I think that's also
default.
This isn't just about the Giants. I think it's something that's consistent across sports. You often hear a lot of front office personnel talk about how excited they are about young players when the players on the team aren't very good.
Oh, man.
You know, I think fans do the same thing. They clamor. We want to see the young guys. Why? Because they're tired of seeing the other guys. Because they're tired of seeing the veterans or even maybe some of the other younger players that haven't produced not do very well. And so they just want to see change. That's what you're trying to push to your fan base is something they haven't seen before.
Yeah.
There might be something behind the curtain. It's like, you're not the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I'll tell you what, Evan, 5 games back, 100 teams in front of them, and you got a game tonight with the A's. And, you know, anything's possible now. Regardless of who the opponent is that the Giants are playing, I now feel like they're playing themselves. I don't feel like the morale is up. I feel like it's down. I'm going to die on that hill, not trying to get Camilo Doval off the hook, but I think something's going on and they can't figure it out inside that clubhouse. They had a Pasoy problem last year. Mm-hmm. It cost Gabe Kapler his job. He's gone. Enter Bob Melvin, and you still got the same bad product on the field. And now we don't hear about stuff in the clubhouse, but I still wonder, and we heard this, you know, with the Warriors last year, Evan, connectivity. I just wonder how connected the Giants are. And I do think it matters. Yeah, like off the field. Because that was a piss poor effort last night in regard to emotion. What word am I looking for? Energy. There was no, but I saw it with the team in the gray uniforms that said Oakland on them. But I just have not seen it consistently with the Giants outside. And you're going to call me crazy. The Pirates and the Mets series, when they went on the road and Chapman won them a few games with the glove, they came back from five runs. That's when I was like, oh my goodness. And that was way back when, like, this team, they might have something. And now they just look like, when's the season over? We have tickets for Cabo or whatnot. That's what I'm getting from the Giants.
I also really haven't heard them address the fans directly, the ones that are frustrated. I mean, Farhan was asked a question about the fans, but I'm not sure either he spoke to them and I'm just not hearing it, or he knows really how to address the fans. I mean, maybe he just doesn't care. I'm not sure. Like, to me, and you brought up his confidence. Yeah, I don't hear much of it either, but to be honest, that doesn't mean much. Like, if you're a confident speaker, you could also be a BSer. I mean, you could just be really good in a room.
Come on now.
Yeah. If you're at the podium, you can get people to follow you. But it is about results. And that's what has always been promised under Farhan Zaidi, and all but 1 year has failed to deliver results. So I don't care if you're not confident. I don't care if you're a bad public speaker. I don't care how you look. I don't care how you sound. I don't care how you dress. If I'm rooting for this baseball team, it's because I want them to win. Mm. And if I don't believe that the person in charge is the best person to do that, well, then there might need to be a reevaluation at the end of the year. The thing right now with Farhan is, whether he sounds confident or not, is that I don't feel like anybody that I've talked to has confidence inspired by him. Like, no Giants fan feels confident about their team.
Oh, man, just look around.
And it's not because he doesn't have the tone or the tenor. It's because his product has been stale. And that isn't something to feel confident about.
And it's funny you use the word, I agree with everything you said, but you use the word care. And what's so bad about this moving forward to me, Evan, is if this man continues at his job, the ownership is telling the fans they don't care about you. And that's how he is symbolic. His tenure or future with this team, if he's not relieved of his duties and I'm assuming they don't make the playoffs, that's what hurts more than just his failures at his job trying to do everything you just talked about and put a winner out there, Evan. At what point do you not care about how it looks, how long it's taking, and the fact that he struck out?
888-957-9570 is the number. You know, after yesterday, again, it's not just about the game itself. It's about everything that happened yesterday. How are you left feeling if you root for the San Francisco Giants? We've seen people text in the Xfinity Mobile text line that they don't feel like they can be fans, you know, while Farhan is running this thing. I feel like I would always root for my team, no matter who's in charge, no matter who's on the field. But yeah, it doesn't, like, I'm not going to make it a priority. You know, I might watch a game here and there, go to the game with some friends. I'll be there tonight because I enjoy the, you know, the ambiance and I like seeing all the people. I also, and this is a part of it too, which is funny, is like the Giants feel very disconnected when the Bay Bridge series, we haven't talked much about it, is like, this is the last opportunity for fans to feel connected.
Think about that.
But neither fan base right now. Now, the A's fans are in a very different place than the Giants fans. But it felt to me last night, sitting in the lower bowl, is that neither side really feels that inspired by their respective org.
Right.
I mean, The A's fans, because their team has chosen to leave and they're going to go to Sacramento next year. But the Giants fans is, to your point, Goots, because it doesn't feel like there's enough invested in their experience, which is funny because they spent $200 million this offseason, I think, to address that problem, to get people back to the ballpark. And now it's about keeping them. Like, I'll give the Giants credit for this. At the beginning of the year, the first third of the season, their attendance numbers were very good. And they have overall been much better than years past. But you got to keep me. You can't just get me to the ballpark and expect me to stay. Yeah. You have to do something to keep me. And I don't know what they've done throughout this season that makes me want to go back and stay and come back next year and the year after and the year after. Because we've seen 6 years of you selling me this idea that you have to come and you have to see. What am I going to see? I don't know what I'm going to see. I don't know if it's going to be a win. I don't know if it's going to be a loss. I don't think it's going to be that exciting. I don't think there's something outside of literally just me and my friends sitting in a ballpark that I'm going to have fun doing there.
Yeah, and it goes back to, why am I here? I'm here, and why am I watching, Evan? Because I love the game. I love baseball. And at the end of the day, all fans may not agree with this, but it comes down to trust. And you pay your money to go watch baseball, and you hope it's good baseball. And it's been that for a lot of times here for Giant fans, 3-5. But since then, I mean, this thing is not good, and I don't have any confidence in the guy that's responsible for making it the situation better. And you know what? I don't want to sound like a Neanderthal or a simpleton when it comes to baseball and the books and the tax, but I don't give a rat's ass about the Giants getting under the tax. I don't see any of that money. Fans want to know, when are you going to go get me an outfielder that can hit 30 home runs? When are we going to feel and make this park feel like it did when Judge and the Yankees came to town like the Beatles? When are we going to get something like that? I'm so sick and tired of excuses. Go get it done. And this guy right now in Zaidi doesn't look like he knows how to do it. So go find somebody that, if that means starting over, so be it. But sitting here watching this same song and dance has gotten so old and boring that last night the baseball gods let a team, because I'm not mad at the A's. I have sung their kudos for being invested mentally and playing and having power. They got as much or more power than anybody in the game. So chicks dig the long ball, and the Giants can't hit the, they don't have power. There is no PG&E for the Giants right now. Nobody's answering the phone. But for them to come to your yard the day of the deadline in which you jettisoned a dude that was your best power hitter on paper, and they come whack four homers in a park that people don't want to come hit in, or hitters don't want to hit in, it was just symbolic of everything that's wrong with the Giants, and they embarrassed you. That was an embarrassment last night. The A's looked like the better team. They didn't have the better record, but they looked like the better team, and they had more energy, and they'll probably win tonight.
But and it wouldn't shock me.
Your president of baseball ops said hours before, we got the best rotation in baseball. How dare you say that when you're not healthy enough for them to even back you up on that, but for that to be in your chamber and you fire that off and the guy goes out there and his second or third start gives up four separate bombs to a team that's not the Yankees, not the Phillies, and not the Dodgers. Miss me. This team, I'm being real, Evan, they may be cursed until you get rid of this dude.
Well, I don't even know how to quantify that, but there might be a section of the spreadsheet that's set for it. It's funny you bring up big bats, because that's another part of this too, in moving off of Soler, basically admitting fault for the signing. And Farhan was asked about it.
I think it's a fair question. Look, Jorge was a total pro. We loved having him here. You know, he's going to a team he's played for before, has relationships. I know he's happy about it, even though I think anytime you get traded, there's some degree of sadness or disappointment. You know, we do take that kind of thing into account, understanding that there are places that a player is going to be more comfortable getting traded to, place where he's been before. I mean, you even look like a guy like Alex Cobb. You know, he mentioned to me when I talked to him earlier today that Stephen Vogt and Craig Albernaz were his two first catchers in Pro Bowl. So, you know, look, you can't always prioritize that and execute on that, but it's important to us.
Hmm. There's something I did take away from that, and I want to get into it on all the other side. Also, I see a couple calls lining up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz or Joe the Guru Johnson. This idea of what Solaire's absence now means, I think it does mean something significant because his signing, although he's not a big-name player, he's not Judge, he's certainly not Stanton, he's certainly not Harper, but he does represent something that the Giants have not had, that they could not get before this offseason, and I'm not so sure that him being traded signals that it's going to come back anytime soon. Again, we're taking your calls at 888-957-9570. Make sure to join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. All right, what's coming up next on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Also an opportunity to remind you, Goo, that our Hoop It Up 3-on-3 basketball tournament is returning to Thrive City. That's right outside Chase Center. It's a beautiful area. The great Whitley Sandretto and I played a pickleball tournament out there a couple weeks ago. We got ran out of the gym a little bit, so that was tough. But it's right outside. It's a great setting, and it's a great place to hop in and try and get involved in this 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Second year, it's on Sunday, August 11th, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. 95.7 The Game is putting a team in the tournament, and we're paying, but we're also paying for registration for three listener teams. That contest will be at Friday at 12 o'clock, Friday high noon. The Hoop It Up tournament is established and owned by Kevin Garnett and includes recreational divisions from ages 8 to 18 plus, as well as adult divisions at all levels. So each team is allowed a max of 5 players, 3 players on the court, 2 subs. You know how it goes. All details. If you need more, go to hoopitup.com/San Francisco. If you think you can beat our team, we will be out there. We might even have more than 5. I'm not sure. Everybody's trying to get on the court at the same time. It's kind of like the Team USA situation. I might be Jason Tatum. I might be in one game, might be out the other. But make sure you're listening this Friday at noon. We're giving away 3 free entries to the tournament. If you win, you'll be able to field your own 3-on-3 team to take on the competition. Evan and Goo back after this, 95.7 The Game. So I would have been, oh boy, a couple years out of college.
I'd have been 30.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Shout out Steph Curry.
The way you laughed, though, I didn't like that, man.
Yeah, he managed to leave that out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ken.
It is funny. Steiny!
It kind of is. Oh, man. I do wonder what sometimes Steiny would be thinking on a day like today.
They're done!
Well, he's been thinking that for a while. Well, although, yeah. He was
Blake Snell. He stinks.
He was the most optimistic of the entire show about the Giants season, though.
Yeah, he was.
Like, I remember doing a show with him where he said, the Giants ticket might be hotter than the Warriors
remember
ticket.
Remember that? He's special,
Can
man.
Can you imagine?
And then he was,
oh, no.
They don't need a star. They got, you know, this and that. But you're right. He did say it. And right now they're proving him wrong, Evan.
Danny, you're wrong, buddy.
Yeah, well, yeah, aren't we all? This is from the 925. Did Ayuk get a contract? Let's put that. No.
Another receiver got paid. Who was it?
DJ Moore. DJ Moore.
You high on him, Evan?
I think he's
like. Pretty, is he way better than Ayuk to you?
No.
See, and that's how
no,
I feel.
He's about the same level.
Yeah, there you go. Jay.
I don't think so. But right before the break, we're kind of discussing this. This response from Farhan Zaidi about Jorge Soler. Obviously, they traded him. They sent him back to Atlanta. No, he didn't hit a home run in his first at-bat.
49er Frankie, he texts
no,
me.
No, he has
I
not hit a home run.
That. I'm disappointed. He fell for it.
Last I checked, he was 0-2.
Yes, sir.
With a strikeout. I mean, what are we doing here? But Farhan was asked about if Jorge Soler's trade hurts their chances of signing future big bats. Mm. Well, let's just revisit that real fast.
I think it's a fair question. Look, Jorge was a total pro. We loved having him here. You know, he's going to a team he's played for before, has relationships. I know he's happy about it, even though I think anytime you get traded, there's some degree of sadness or disappointment. You know, we do take that kind of thing into account, understanding that there are places that a player is going to be more comfortable getting traded to, place where he's been before. I mean, you even look like a guy like Alex Cobb. You know, he mentioned to me when I talked to him earlier today that Stephen Vogt and Craig Albernaz were his two first catchers in Pro Bowl. So, you know, look, you can't always prioritize that and execute on that, but it's important to us.
Yeah, it should be important. But the fact that Jorge Soler has flamed out as spectacularly as he did, specifically while playing in San Francisco, leads me to believe, Goo, that look, Farhan Zaidi signed Jorge Soler. He was able to sign Matt Chapman. Those are two pretty solid position players.
I got you.
They're not Harper. They're not Stanton. They're not Judge. But if Jorge Soler only hits four home runs in 46 games at Oracle Park, and this is a guy that has just a ridiculous amount of power,
man,
why would Farhan ever be able to sign another big bat, another position player? I think the fact that they moved off of Soler so fast and the fact that he did not work out just affirms everything that every hitter around the league thinks about this ballpark, is if that dude can't perform there, why the hell should I? If I'm looking at these upcoming free agents in this class, Soto's the biggest one, obviously. I think he's off the board. Pete Alonso is a name that people have clamored for. Teoscar Hernandez, who's got 25 bombs with the Dodgers right now as a free agent. These big boppers, right? Farhan Zaidi can't get any of them. He's not going to be able to get any of them. And Jorge Soler was his last chance to prove that he could go out and acquire a big bat and that that bat could succeed at Oracle Park. And it hasn't worked. And I don't think it will work.
No, that's great, Evan. And I'll say this to that. Farhan has bigger fish to fry than worrying about future free agents. Because if it's not a trade, I don't think he can close a deal. And the fact that you pulled the plug, Farhan did, on Soler, and you're talking about these youngsters and their empowerment. Evan, I'm looking at you right now at 12:36. I'm ready to tell you, I feel like if they don't make the playoffs, he may not go that route as long as he's president of baseball ops anymore. Like, this might be to him, this is why I don't like doing it that way. Yeah, I went in on Judge and the Harpers of the world, but for you to pull the plug in the fashion that they did, I wonder now if this will be given to somebody in the, you know, down on the farm or whatnot. I don't worry about moving forward if people say I'm not going there because of Soler and how he was quote unquote treated. I feel like the problem started way before Soler in regard to, we got a guy that can't close a deal via free agency, you know, the old visits and wine and dine me. But as far as trades, Evan, I wonder if this will be the last bopper trade that we see Farhan even involved in, regardless how long he's here. And I know that may sound crazy, but he's talking about we're leaning into the young players. And the fact that you said I've seen enough, basically, with Soler, I wonder how attractive that is moving forward to go get another bopper, per se, that was available.
Why would I ever resign myself to Oracle Park if I'm a big hitter?
Man.
If I'm not a homegrown giant, and I have the option to go to any place because I'm a great home run hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the ability to hit 30 to 40 home runs. Why would I choose San Francisco? I mean, this year, the only place that has been more difficult to hit home runs, according to StatCast.
Oh, give it to me.
It's in London, where Steiny is Wembley Stadium. Like, that's the only place that has produced a more difficult environment to hit home runs in than San Francisco.
Are they at the top?
Or the bottom?
Well,
depending on which way you're looking at it.
That's a four. But
seriously.
Man. I don't know, Evan. You got to get somebody that could sell what he said. We got the soundbite where he talked about the city and the history of the Giants and staying at Union Square and walking. And you did have a valid, very valid point about, Goo, that was 6 years ago. Things have changed. But have they changed that much to where I can't ask for a guy that is the president of baseball operations to be fired up about the city that he resides in and the team that he sees over is in San Francisco. Go sell that. I don't want to hear excuses about how hard it is to hit a home run here, because let me tell you who didn't have difficulty over the weekend when they did stop here. Judge, Soto, Schwarber, Otani, you know, boppers, Butler, and Rooker, making it look like Wrigley Field. So I guess it all lies in the presentation and the guy making the presentation, Evan.
Exactly. Yeah, and he hasn't been able to deliver. This is from the 5-3-0. It's a fair point. Money talks. You know, why would anybody choose Charlie San Francisco? Sheen. Money. True. But again, if money is a given, like if you're that good of a player, you're going to get paid no matter where. You're basically just choosing where you get to hit.
Right, I am.
You know, why would I do that? San Diego right up there, too. The pitcher's park, but they get fools. Yeah, I mean, they signed Machado. They were able to retain Tatis for a long time. And then they signed Xander Bogaerts. Well, that's true. They were offering money. They offered more money than anybody else. But they've also had more success in recent memory than the San Francisco Giants. The San Diego Padres, I think, are viewed nationally. Now, they haven't won a World Series, but I think they're viewed nationally as being a more competitive ball club than the San Francisco Giants. Mm. They're consistently closer, have been in recent memory, consistently closer to the postseason than the Giants have.
And that's why, Evan, real quick, this is not a Calipari with the Giants. One and done. We'll be right back next year. This thing has been ongoing. You know, one playoff appearance in the last 8 years. Fleming was on with the roast. I can't. And again, Fleming's one of the most, you know, logical, you know, not get, you know,
yeah, Fleming's awesome.
Blow it out of, like, reserve dudes I know, and man, this is not good enough. And there's one man's job who oversees this as long as he's been on the job, and right now it's just been a lot of failure outside of the 107.
Well, he's the consistent part. He's the denominator. There's a lot of people that contribute to success. It's not necessarily all Farhan's fault. But when you look at the combination of people that are either there to help him or the players themselves or the coaching staff that he has handpicked, it hasn't produced enough results. You've gotten one great season. I don't want to take 2021 away. It's hard to win 107 games.
Yeah.
Hell, it's hard to win 90 games as
with
we're finding out this season.
With the characters they had.
Exactly. So you can't take that away from him, but there hasn't been nearly enough of that magic throughout the other five seasons, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down to San Jose. Talk to Austin. Austin, what's going on?
Our
You're
guy.
On with Evan and Goo. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm listening to this conversation, Goo, and I can't understand why you guys are so worked up. For me, this is a casual. I look at it from a business standpoint. I mean, listen, first of all, Farhan is really probably doing what his boss is. He reports to the owners, man. I mean, the fans are one piece of it, but, you know, as people keep going through the turnstiles and paying for the tickets and overpriced food and booze. I mean, why this dude is doing what he, as long as he can keep people coming through the turnstiles, he's going to be fine, man. I mean, so this notion that he's going to go away because fans are upset, that's, I think that's kind of crazy. I don't think that's the way the real world works. I think that's one thing. What the other thing I wanted to say was, it's not Farhan's fault that guys aren't performing, Guru. I mean, you know, you can get a guy out there, and if he's not doing, I mean, Soler wasn't hitting the ball. I mean, so what's
but Austin, they haven't
that?
Been Austin, they haven't been performing for since he's been here. We can go down all the different rosters. I feel what you're saying about the turnstile, but they have not been performing since he's been here. And if you're going to sell me on the GM, hey, people are coming in to buy a ticket, people in the Bay, I think it's an insult. They love baseball. But to sit here and say this dude has not been negligent at his job, I think that's like, you have to understand that, Austin. And I do agree with you this on this one. He's not going anywhere, and that's what makes this worse. But to sit here and say, and I'm not saying you are, you cannot defend what he's done and what the Giants are, because right now, Austin, they're a laughing stock.
Well, number three, I would say too that maybe your feelings or your hopes for the Giants are way too high.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think that. I think people go through to the Giants games not expecting they're going to be on the same level with the Dodgers or any of these other good teams. I think people go to the ballpark just to enjoy the game. Frankly, that's why I would go. I wouldn't go to say, oh, the Giants can compete with those guys. I don't think their lineup is – I don't think they're good enough, guys. I mean, at some point you have to realize they're just not good enough.
Yeah, Austin, okay, real quick. I know, good. $200 million payroll, you better be good enough. That's negligence in itself. I agree, but why is your payroll over $200 million? Because you're making the wrong decisions on the wrong people, or you're operating from a point of desperation because you can't get anybody to come here.
Oh, sorry. I think he dropped. Okay. No, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, and I hear Austin. Look, yeah, it's not all Farhan's fault. Maybe some of this could be from the ownership, and we're going to find out eventually how much the owner actually cares about winning. Because I agree that if they do care about winning, and this season doesn't result in enough winning, then you probably should make a move. You should do something.
Wow.
There has to be action taken to make sure that this doesn't continue to repeat itself. Because I'm with you, Gu. If you spend the amount of money that they spent
this offseason,
that is money spent to win. That's not money just to bring people back into seats. You can do that with a beautiful ballpark. It's an Acropolis. It's one of the best places in the country to watch a sporting event. That money was spent to win inside that ballpark, and they have not done that enough. And they haven't done it on the road. They haven't done it nearly enough for me to consider this season anything but a failure if you don't make the postseason. There's seven spots. There's seven opportunities out of 15 teams. Damn near half the NL makes the postseason, and you couldn't be one of them after spending more money where you finally got the green light, you got a blank check to go out there and do something, you did it, and it turned into pixie dust.
Wow.
That is a failure, no matter how you slice it.
I love it, and to Austin, I will never give Farhan credit for Bay Area residents going to a Giant game. They're going to the game, obviously you want to watch something special, but I'm not putting that at the doorstep or in the win column for Farhan that people are coming to your yard.
No.
I'm looking at what you're spending. I'm looking at the Dodgers. I'm looking at what's around you and why this team can't qualify. Did you see what Carter sent us? I know it's random. What
he
sent? He sent a picture from 49ers practice. Ayuk went to the middle of the field and dapped up Lynch and Shanahan. It's on video.
In pads?
Not in pads.
Oh.
But I'm wondering, is that a trade or is that a deal coming?
Ooh, spicy.
How would you? I mean, he wouldn't dap both of them up. Is that a deal that would probably be announced, or is that a trade?
Well, remember, I think it was August 1st was the day that Deebo Samuel signed his extension in 2022. So that's like, I think, the date that everybody has circled. So he's got 24 hours if he wants to make that happen.
Mm.
A dap, though, at midfield.
Yeah, he gave both of them a dap.
Well, remember, on the first day of training camp, he walked right by the media.
I saw that.
And then went with Lynch back into the locker room, presumably to Lynch's office to discuss some things. I don't know.
Think he gonna get his chicken?
No, but Ayuk is... He's playing the optics game quite a bit.
What was the dap for? If I'm mad at you and you ain't paying me and I'm over here, I ain't dapping you.
You think we're overthinking it?
Oh,
just
that's
like,
a
hey,
four.
What's going on? Like, oh, hey, guys. You know, like, I'm here. I mean, in a way, I think it would be more awkward and we would have more questions about Brandon Ayuk if he didn't go dap up his head coach and general manager.
What?
Right?
Like, but we're at day 3, 4, 5 of practice. You know, it ain't like day one. So I just feel like good news is coming. Hopefully it's not a trade, but I'll say this about the Niners offense. And we know we'll get into Purdy too, Evan, because he sat down with TK. But the bottom line is, I didn't like the Niners offense collectively in the playoffs. But if you're telling me you're going to run it back trying to get back to the Super Bowl or win the NFC West, and you're telling me Ayuk is not that important, forget how good is he better than Jefferson and Lamb and all that. He is your Jefferson and Lamb to me. And you're telling me you're going to run this thing back without his services? That would be maddening to me. But I don't know why I'm looking at this video, E. Like, maybe a deal's coming.
Well, maybe he was happy with the news earlier today.
Which?
That DJ Moore got paid.
Oh,
because that might mean more money for him.
Hey, there you go.
DJ Moore was a $20 million wide receiver, and now he'll be a $27.5 million wide receiver because he got a 4-year, $110 million extension.
DJ Moore. And
with
he's good,
Evan. A little more than $80 million of it guaranteed.
Good. That's generational wealth, man.
Yes, it is, especially for a guy that, I don't know, me and Ken were going back and forth. I don't think he's the best receiver on the Bears, but that's neither here nor there. But as it pertains to Brandon Ayuk, that might be just another figure. Like, Ayuk has every reason to believe he's better than DJ Moore.
I'm with you on that one. Justin Jefferson, hey, come talk, sit down, son, let me talk to you, Brandon. But I'm with you on DJ. I don't think Ayuk is as good as CeeDee Lamb. I feel like he's right there, but
I agree with that.
I feel like CeeDee is just that Jamar Chase type category.
Yeah, I think CeeDee is, and he's had the opportunity, but he's proven more. You know, he's
well, not in the playoffs though.
Well,
I don't know who that is.
What was that?
Sorry, Sam.
But also, yeah. I mean, wins aren't a wide receiver stat.
Gotcha.
They're not even a quarterback stat.
But that's the one thing Ayuk does not have. If we're at the table or the bar talking about the greatest receivers, he's in a system that doesn't allow him to comply. You know, like CD's in. This is him. A couple tight ends. Maybe Michael Gallup no longer there. Jamar Chase, all the balls are going to those dudes.
Well, while I was in Europe, I was watching like the receiver doc, right?
And what
was,
did you think of it?
Well, it was great, but it just had me thinking. Okay, so if you're putting together like a round table of the best receivers in the league, you know, like Devontae Adams is probably at the table.
He turned me off. We'll get to that.
You don't like
Yeah, I didn't like how he did a couple of his teammates.
But how would I understood how he did Jimmy Garoppolo?
Boy.
But I don't know if Devontae Adams is saying, "Hey, Ayuk, come over to the table." You know, like this table is reserved for the Knights.
But you would be shocked.
Lancelot.
Because Tlaib.
Aqib Tlaib.
Thank you. He was on some podcast. We played the sound while you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying Ayuk is a top three receiver. And if he had a real quarterback, he would put up numbers. The guys had him on, and he clarified real quarterback. It wasn't a shot at Purdy, but basically being where it's just you're the system, and he would get the targets. I just think Brandon's an above-average receiver, and I hope he gets paid.
Well, he's certainly above average. Yeah, he was a top five statistically receiver last year.
But does his team think that way in regard to whatever he's asking for?
I think what they're trying to figure out is how valuable Ayuk is versus basically the amount of money they're going to have to kind of dive into to keep him, which means they're going to lose other pieces in the future. You know, how valuable is Ayuk versus how valuable is, say, you know, a defensive lineman? One thing that also is kind of flown under the radar, I don't know if you guys talked about this much, but it isn't just Ayuk that they have to pay. Like, around, you know, the same time, like, Teleno Hufanga is eligible. I think Dre Greenlaw is also eligible.
And those two guys coming off some serious injuries, not that I'm, you know, saying they're not going to get their money. They're most likely going to get it. But as far as leverage, IU can be like, I'm brand new. I'm young. I'm ready to go. I have not been hurt. Those two guys are mainly Greenlaw. And you're right. They both have some serious injuries.
No. That's true. And I'm not saying that it's one or the other. But if I pose this, like, Hufanga was first team all pro. Greenlaw, it doesn't have the accolades, but someone like Fred Warner has expressed how important he is to their linebacking core. If I told you that you get to keep either Ayuk and then lose Greenlaw and Hufanga, or you keep, you know, the two defensive players, that might be something that they have to weigh. You know, if you pay out Ayuk and you keep your offense at the same level, well, then maybe your defense takes a step back.
Right.
And how are you going to account for that? You know, maybe, I don't know, Jair Brown is the next man up at the safety spot. Maybe you feel okay with not having Greenlaw because you're not going to have him at the beginning of the season anyways. So we'll figure out how expendable he is. Maybe the linebacking core really suffers. Maybe the defense takes a step back without Dre Greenlaw.
Because outside of the Super Bowl, we saw what Detroit did to him in the first half, Evan. And I know they won the game. The Niners did, and that was with Greenlaw. But, man, I just there's so many questions to be answered this year. It's not just Purdy with this 49er team. And they've had a great run. And now the disease of me, or just the natural element of football and timing, is I need to get paid. And we've been doing this at a high level. Now the buck's got to stop on some of the people, and everybody's not going to be on the bus ride, Evan.
Yeah, that's true. But if we're just like looking at IU, the topical news of the day is DJ Moore getting paid by the Chicago Bears. So obviously they want Caleb Williams to have his guy for some time. I don't know if Keenan Allen's going to be in the near future, but he'll be there this season.
CeeDee Lamb.
Well, I'm just saying in Chicago, like,
okay.
But if we're looking at Ayuk versus, say, DJ Moore, because this is a fair point from the 510, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Go see DJ Moore's stats playing with
trash quarterback.
Yeah, trash quarterback. Well, he's not in Pittsburgh, but and that's from E. Rich or Eric. I'm not sure. But this is the thing, though. It's like if you're on a bad team, sometimes it is easier to put up gaudy numbers because oftentimes you're trailing. You have to throw the ball. There's softer coverages, and you might be open more as opposed to Ayuk, who is getting far less opportunities.
Yeah.
I think last year he was around 20th in total targets, and yet he was top five in receiving yards. So you're getting a lot when he does get
buck,
the ball.
No doubt about it.
I mean, that's why I think that Ayuk would be better than DJ Moore.
When do you think this thing ends? Or this video could be nothing, Evan. I think something's coming down the pipe. Like, you can't, he's not going to play on the fifth year. I mean, he's showing you that right now. But are you going to let this thing just go on? Like, we hadn't talked about, I know it's 3 days, but at some point, you know, you want your guy back. You want him to get healthy, especially after we saw Debo and Bosa. I know it was later on last year when he signed, but they kind of impacted their season.
Well, and we can get into this more on the other side. I do think there is a couple of paths the 49ers can take with Ayuk, but one big thing needs to happen first, and that's Trent Williams. And I think that's going to delay whatever Ayuk wants.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about this because earlier today at training camp, Ayuk walked over to John Lynch, walked over to Kyle Shanahan, gave him some dap. In the video that's out on social media, he looks very happy.
Yeah, he did.
He looks elated. He looks like someone who's glad that they're at camp, even if he's still holding in so he doesn't get fined. There's also an interesting dynamic about that, too, which is the 49ers could forgive his fines. Like, if he held out. They can't forgive Trent Williams' fines.
We had
fines.
Your boy Barrels on. You booked him for us, and he was telling us that.
Well, yeah, there's no indication that they would forgive his fines.
All
but
right.
They could. They have the option to. They don't have the option to forgive Trent Williams' fines because he's not on his rookie deal. So Trent is picking up the 50 Gs.
Oh, wow.
No matter what.
He'll be happy if you give him some new guarantee, though.
I think he'd be all right with it. Yeah, I mean, that's what he wants. He wants guaranteed money, especially as a future Hall of Fame left tackle.
And he's probably like, I'll be there when I be there. You know, Evan, he's an OG.
I'll be there when
yeah,
I be there.
You know, I'm just wondering if he's like just, man, they know how much they need me, and they're making it look like they're at an impasse, but it's all good.
I don't know if there's anybody that's really concerned about those two. And maybe I'll pick your brain on the other side.
We got football tomorrow, Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I know. You've been telling me about it. If Lorenzo Neal's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't care.
Now I'm right behind you.
If Lo Neal, the greatest fullback to ever lace him up, is not in the Hall, he's not put on a yellow jacket tomorrow, a gold jacket, I don't give
Why
a rip.
Why wouldn't they put him in the Hall? One of the most vicious positions
it's
in football.
Acceptable.
Just Google Lo Neal, and he treated men like kids.
Yes, he did. He still can, honestly. Yeah. He still can. No, I love Lo. But coming up next on the game, by the way, it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Also, a reminder, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Does the number 27.5, that's what DJ Moore got per year, does that do anything with Ayuk? Is the fact that he's very happy, apparently, at training camp,
yeah,
indicate one way or another that he's feeling good about maybe 27, maybe 28, maybe about just being paid and being a San Francisco 49er? We'll dig into that more as we move forward. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Gerald the Guru Johnson on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.